We're certainly thankful that you're here this morning. I'm glad that I'm here this morning. I wasn't very sure about that earlier in the week. Had a real bad cold, and believe it or not, I'm doing quite a bit better than I was. So if you think you have a new preacher here with a new voice, it's still me. So I do want to, I did so in the bulletin article and invite you to read that. I do want to express my appreciation to everyone who was involved in making last Sunday, our friend day, a very great success. We met a lot of people, encouraged, I think, many, and we hope that there will be some people that will be here as a result of our friend day, and I think that we will see good results from that. I don't know about you, but it's just hard for me to believe that it's already Thanksgiving, and we're going to turn around before too long, and it's going to be Christmas, but the time sure has flown by, and I'm grateful for the time that we have had together and continue to have together, but Becky and I wish you a great Thanksgiving. I know some of you will be traveling, and I hope that your trip will be a very safe trip. Others, you'll have company coming here, and I hope that they will have a safe trip as well. There's a story about a king, and he was deeply concerned about the ingratitude of his royal court. And he decided that he would host a large banquet for his officials. And on that evening, when the elegant meal was being served, the king's court was appalled when a beggar entered the banquet hall and sat down at the king's table and gorged himself with food. Without speaking a word to anyone, the beggar left the room after he was completely filled. And the royal court was completely unaware that the king had made a prior arrangement with that beggar to do precisely what he did. The guests of the king were infuriated. They didn't know about this deal that he had made with the beggar. They were infuriated with the beggar's impropriety and his insolence and his ingratitude. And they sought permission from the king to seize the beggar and to kill him. But the king replied, "That beggar has done only once to an earthly king what each one of you does three times a day to your heavenly king. Day after day, you sit at your tables and eat until you are completely filled. Then you walk away from the table without recognizing God as your provider or expressing one word of thanks to him." On Thursday, we will celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And this is our annual day for saying grace at the table of God's eternal goodness. Have you noticed that quite often, the people who have the least are the most thankful to God for what they have? And quite often, the people who have the most are the least thankful. As members of the most blessed and bountiful society the world has ever known, are we truly a thankful people? You have heard that when you pray for patience, you're praying for trials that will produce patience. And if we pray for thankful hearts, are we praying that we have fewer things in order to make room for the spirit of thankfulness in our hearts? Let's look at Psalm 118, beginning in verse 19. Psalm 118, beginning in verse 19. open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. We do have so much for which to be thankful. And this morning I want to go through this psalm briefly and show you some of the things that we need to thank God for. First of all, he stated that we need to thank God for answering our prayers. Verse 21, the first part. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me. But what is prayer? It is the child of God going into the very presence of his heavenly Father to have a heart-to-heart talk with him. It's amazing to me that God gives unlimited access to his children. God sitting on the very throne of God, very throne of heaven, and we can access him at any time, at any place. You know, a number of years ago when I was a minister in other places, I've had secretaries. And I always told them, if my wife or my children call me, they should have immediate and unlimited access to me. Now, I think certainly we can see how immediate an access we can have to the Father, to the God of all gods. The more time we spend with our Heavenly Father, the more confident we feel about our relationship with him. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, I'm going to try to catch up here. All right, so there we go. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in our time of need. We talked about in our Bible class this morning how that God is constantly communicating with us. His communication is there. If we will just listen to him, if we'll just read his word, study what he has to say, and he wants us to communicate with him as well. We can approach the throne of God with confidence because we are approaching the throne of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And in that throne of grace, we can find mercy and we can find help in our time of need. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, John wrote, excuse me, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Now, we're not just to go to God and ask for the moon, but we're to ask him for things that are spiritual, that are godly in nature. He's promised us that he'll provide for us all of the physical things that we need. And so our prayers should be those of a spiritual nature, knowing that God has the ability to answer our prayers, and knowing that God has the willingness to listen to us and to respond to us positively. Secondly, when we look at verse 21, the last part, it says, "You have become my salvation." Thank you, God, for being our salvation. I don't know about you, but I usually think of salvation as being provided by God or given by our loving God. God did send his only begotten Son to be our Savior. But God is also portrayed in Scripture as being our salvation. In Psalm 27 and verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The word salvation denotes safety, security, and deliverance. And even when we may think we are struggling alone with our daily problems, God has promised that he will carry them for us if we will but let him. There is really no reason for us to be burdened with the heavy load our God wants to lift off of our shoulders and put on his own shoulders. In Psalm 68, verses 19 through 20, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death." There's so many times that we bear burdens that we don't need to bear, that God is willing to carry them if we will let him. And then in verse 22, "Thank you, God, for making Jesus our foundation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Our faith is based on the securest of all foundations. And when the storms of life come, we need to be anchored firmly in Jesus Christ. Peter quoted Isaiah 28 and verse 16, and possibly from the Psalm as well, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 6, when he said, "I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." And unfortunately, instead of being a cornerstone, for many, Jesus has become a stumbling block. But we need to be grateful that we are building our lives and our eternal homes on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the eternal and glorious Son of God. In verse 24, "Thank you, God, for giving us just one day at a time. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." There is such a terrible temptation to be burdened down by yesterday's mistakes and problems, as well as to worry about tomorrow's possibilities. You cannot handle more than one day at a time. In fact, you can't even handle today very well without God's help. The Lord has given you only one day to live, and that is today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Or one translation, as I read, says prosperity. Each day that God gives us will be filled with challenges and opportunities, disappointments and joys. And whether the present is pleasant or difficult, we can rejoice and be glad in each day, because God has promised He will not give us more than what we can bear. He will see us through today and every day that we live. And then in verse 25, thank you, God, for giving us prosperity. Verse 25, O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. You know, think and thank come from the same root word. If we will only stop to think about the bountiful gifts that God offers to us every day of our lives, we can't help but be thankful. We need to think about and be thankful for all that we already have, and instead of thinking about all that we want. In 3 John, verse 2, John wrote, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Is your soul prospering? How is your soul doing? If our physical health and our financial stability was directly related to our spiritual well-being, would we be healthy, wealthy, and wise? And then in verse 28, thank you, God, for letting us worship you. You know, there are some people who think that Christianity is a dutiful burden, but it is not. Worship to the Almighty God is a divine privilege. It is inspiring and encouraging to assemble with the earthly saints who view each worship service as a mere prelude to the praise and glory and honor we will be offering to God continually in our heavenly home. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, the writer tells us why we are to assemble together and not forsake the assembly. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I have heard some people say, well, I just don't get anything out of the church service. Well, the reason that we're to come together is not so much what you get out of it, but how you share and how you love one another. That you provoke one another to love and good deeds. I pray that you get that out of the worship service. I pray that you come not selfishly, but unselfishly to share with others and to encourage others as well. And then in Psalm 122 and verse 1, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Several years ago, I ran across this poem about Thanksgiving that I wanted to share with you today. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. In Psalm 118, verse 29, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. I want you to think about these things, if you will, come Thursday. Not just think about football or about good things to eat, even though you may enjoy those things. But I do want you to think about how much the Lord has given you already and how thankful we need to be for what he has done for you and me. There may be someone in the audience this morning who wants to and who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you need to be baptized into Christ, we hope that you will take advantage of this opportunity today. If we can encourage you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.